sends the investor class diving for their tax shelters. Rick Smith.
The rich pay too much taxes. The poor get way too much. Instead of schools, build prisons and lock the children up. We won't believe those lies again, because God is a Republican.
What an interesting day today was. We started off the morning with Trump telling everybody to go watch Fox and Friends and Fox News and Fox Business for their ongoing coverage of the embassy opening in Jerusalem. Then you had Ivanka doing the official speech, and Jared with the quote that was omitted from the transcripts. You've actually got Russian TV mocking and criticizing Trump's decision. The one thing that was sent to me, evidently Russian TV, someone on their TV said the entire city is covered, Jerusalem, is covered with banners urging Trump to make Israel great again. He couldn't muster the strength to make America great again, but maybe he can manage to do it with Israel. And they had a whole bunch of pictures and signs of, you know, make Israel great and all that. And then you had this Judge Jeanine, who basically, you know, came out and said that, you know, Trump has fulfilled the biblical prophecy. Because now the end times can come. Evidently, the end of the world can now come. And here to share some thoughts on, well, is the end time coming? Or should we all prepare? I've asked our good friend Chris Stroop to come talk with us. Chris is the co-founder of Empty the Pews. I guess he's the founder of Empty the Pews hashtag, and You Don't Know Evangelicals. Chris, thanks for taking time for us.
Hey, Rick. Thanks for having me back on.
So, crazy day.
Oh, yeah. Some of that was stuff you were just relating was pretty nauseating. But as far as the end times goes, you know, I'm pretty sure Judge Jeanine is Catholic, like many of the conservative Fox News commentators, but those beliefs are very widespread among evangelicals. In fact, I was looking at some polling data in the Washington Post earlier today, and according to a recent Lifeway poll, 80% of evangelicals believe that the 1948 creation of the State of Israel was a fulfillment of biblical prophecy. And I would guess if you put that 80% of evangelicals together with the 81% of them that voted for Donald Trump, of white evangelicals, I should specify, I bet that Venn diagram would be almost a circle. So yeah, they're very excited about this as a fulfillment of what they see as biblical prophecy. That is a step further towards the end times, towards the end of the world.
Yay, yay! So let me ask you, since you brought up that, you know, Judge Jeanine is a Catholic, is it that she read that impassioned speech that someone else wrote? Do you think those are truly her words, and maybe she just doesn't understand? Or is she in on the gig?
Oh, there are certainly Catholics who do share very similar end times beliefs, even if they don't necessarily believe exactly in the rapture theology that we associate with what's called premillennial dispensationalism, which is kind of the most popular version of end times theology that you find among evangelicals in America today. There's this really weird guy on YouTube, for example, this old Catholic man who calls himself the third eagle of the apocalypse and has all these prophecies about Donald Trump. So, you know, the Catholics, they have their crazies too.
Good. Now, hey, they can't be left behind.
So to speak.
I mean, I know we really shouldn't.
Of novels, of course, being a huge pop culture sensation in the 90s and into this century. And I think it was just 2014, they did a remake of the movie version, this time starring Nicolas Cage.
He seems to be in all those crazy religious movies now.
Yeah, it's pretty weird.
Because, you know, I don't know if people have been noticing, but there's been an awful lot of an attempt to create almost like a Christian Hollywood.
Oh, yeah. In fact, that's very intentional among certain people, including Kirk Cameron, who's worked closely with right-wing ideologues. I mean, there is a right-wing Christian film industry that spreads dominionist propaganda messages and so-called family values messages and that sort of thing. Kirk Cameron is heavily involved in it.
Our tax dollars hard at work. Yeah, our tax dollars hard at work. I mean, it's scary stuff to me, and on so many levels, because, look, I don't want to, you know, tread on anyone's religion. You know, you believe what you want to believe. But when you start pushing policy that you know is causing chaos and causing people to die and causing all of this tension, I think you've gone too far.
Sure. I mean, 52 Palestinians killed today was the last death toll that I saw. And I'm sure, I mean, the protests have been ramped up along the Gaza border anyway, but obviously this move to recognize Jerusalem as the capital by moving our embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem is a hugely destabilizing factor, and it's completely disingenuous for the White House to say that it will cause no problems for the peace process. I mean, it was sort of, one really important thing that was supposed to remain on the negotiating table for the peace process to even take place at all.
So let me ask you, because I'm not big on all of the evangelical, theory and all of this stuff. Why is moving the embassy and saying that Jerusalem is the capital? Why is this so important to the evangelical, to the Christian right, to someone like Trump? Why does it matter?
So it matters to them because they believe that the Bible prophesied that Israel would expand to contain all the territory found in the historical Davidic kingdom of Israel. And, I think it was it was Pastor John Hagee and his benediction. It wasn't off the top of my head. I couldn't remember Jeffers, but no, it was definitely Hagee who referred to Jerusalem as the eternal capital of the Jewish people today at the ceremony. So there's also this idea that they need to have a third temple rebuilt. And in terms of the popular understanding of the end times, the rebuilding of the Jewish temple is seen as an important precursor of the end. So recognizing Jerusalem as the capital of Israel, potentially of an undivided Israel, is a step toward that, they hope. Of course, on that site of the Temple Mount is also the third holiest site in Islam, the Al-Aqsa Mosque. So you'd have to destroy it to rebuild the temple.
Interesting. So they want all this.
They do. They want to see that happen. They believe that the Bible predicted that's going to happen. They look at history and current events, and they read these things through a lens of prophecy and providentialism. They look for signs of God in the world, and they do it in a very dangerous and destabilizing way. You try to map this rigid ideology onto actual geopolitics. It's going to mess things up.
Interesting. Now, you brought up Hagee, who is evidently the founder of Christians United for Israel. And I view Hagee as one of those really extreme way out there. But I don't
He certainly is.
I don't consider him as crazy as the other one, this Robert Jeffress, who I don't know why he's there. I mean, this is the guy who said 9/11 happened because of abortion. He's an anti-gay guy. And you had even Mitt Romney tweeting out today that this Jeffress guy said, you can't be saved being a Jew. And that, Mormonism is heresy and from the pit of hell and all of these things. if you weren't, and I look at, Trump choosing these two really extreme, way out controversial people to go and represent this country on this stage. It tells me one of a couple of things. One, he just likes stirring stuff up and wants to see anger and chaos and death and destruction. Or two, he's completely clueless.
Well, three, he knows who his base is, and they are his base. And these people are extremely loyal to him, and you know how much Trump values loyalty. I think, you could see these patterns emerging from very early on, even during the campaign. He's given unprecedented levels of access to radically conservative evangelicals at the expense of other religious groups. And he still only regularly meets with, certain handpicked evangelicals, as opposed to meeting with a wider variety of religious leaders on a regular basis. All of that is really, I think it's really not good. It's a huge blow to pluralism. And of course, this whole thing, I mean, even just moving our embassy to Jerusalem is a huge provocation on the international stage. The UN condemned it. Our allies condemn it. The general take in the international community, the general consensus is that Jerusalem is an occupied territory. So all of this is very awkward. Now, in terms of the things that these guys believe, they're not really out of keeping with what most white evangelicals believe. It's just that, you know, sometimes some of them shoot their mouths off a little bit more, but you wouldn't have to go digging too hard. I mean, I want to stress that these beliefs are not outside the mainstream for white evangelicals. It's just that white evangelicals are really extreme, by and large.
Yeah, I got to tell you, I look at that. It's one of those things where I go, I really don't want to be identified with white. If this is what white evangelicals believe, and this is how extreme they are, don't put me in that class. Is there a demarcation line where I can go, no, that's them over there. You know, crazy.
Well, you know, I mean, if you don't believe everyone who doesn't believe the way that you believe goes to hell, and I think that's pretty much necessary to be an evangelical, though that possibly could be disputed. There used to be more of a spectrum among them. And there's still, you know, 15-20% who are moderate to progressive, but for the most part, they're pretty much synonymous with fundamentalists now. They just often are a bit more PR and media savvy and image savvy. And once in a while, they get caught saying things that if you want to be respectable in America, you're not supposed to say out loud. But now it's all just really come to the surface. I mean, Hagee, of course, became somewhat famous in 2008 for endorsing John McCain, and when it came out that he had said that God used people to hunt the Jews in history in order to lead to the creation of the modern state of Israel and fulfill prophecy, and one of those hunters was Hitler. You know, that's a disturbing and anti-Semitic thing to say. And yet, it's not at all out of keeping with how evangelicals in general read what they take to be prophetic history. So Hagee just said something out loud that you're not supposed to say out loud in a place where the public will get wind of it.
Yeah, I mean it's scary times, and I'm, you know, I saw this and I'm going, do we really need this? I mean, yeah, it was this so important? And I know earlier in the program, Bob Ney told us that, you know, this got passed back in 1995. Every president since has said, oh yeah, we'll run on it, we're gonna do it, and they never do. And this right. was the guy who was just dumb enough to do it.
Yeah, I mean, well, dumb enough, or again, just recognizing who his base is, Donald Trump has very consistently pursued the Christian right agenda. In terms of appointing radical right-wing judges and justices, I think Roe v. Wade is really at risk. And he's been consistent on the Jerusalem thing since the beginning. It was understandable that most people thought he wouldn't initially follow through when he made the promise on the campaign trail.
Right. So let me ask you this, because
it's consistent with the way he's treated evangelicals in general.
Right, but here, this can't be who he is. I mean, there's got to be someone who's in his ear that's advising this. He can't be this. Is it Pence who's leading this? I mean, because there's a story, you know, from the Washington Post that said, you know, Pence is accumulating all of this party power because Trump just, he's not interested in building party politics. And Pence is building this enormous amount of power. Is this coming from Pence? Is this coming from someone that we don't know? Because I can't imagine a guy who's lived the kind of life that Trump has led hangs out with many evangelicals.
Well, I mean, he does now. At least he meets with him. He gives them access to him because they're loyal to him. Do I think that he shares their beliefs? No, I really don't. I don't think he believes in anything really but himself and his own greatness, quote unquote. And so he's going to surround himself with yes men. And evangelicals are those most willing to follow him because they're getting what they want out of it. And I'm sure Pence absolutely has a lot to do with that, but there's also this pastor, Ralph Drollinger of Capital Ministries, who leads a weekly Bible study with Pence and most of his cabinet. He's a far right-wing evangelical crazy as well, doesn't believe that women should be in leadership roles, etc.
Wow.
So he's got a lot of them around him. I mean, he's got a lot of right-wing evangelicals in his
cabinet. Just what we need. Just what we need, and they love war. Evidently, they all seem to love war. So basically, we're going for the chaos cocktail then.
It's pretty disturbing the level of power that they have in this administration, the level of influence that they actually have.
Welcome to the new Crusades.
I really don't think Trump believes in anything. He's willing to do this.
Welcome to the new Crusades. Crazy, crazy times. Last question I've got for you. You know, honestly and truthfully, is this a big deal in your view? Will this blow over? I mean, or do you see this becoming one of those flashpoints where the embassy is going to be constantly attacked? There's going to be constant turmoil and chaos around it. What are you foreseeing?
Well, it's definitely a big deal. I mean, it's going to be a stain on our reputation going ahead, and it's going to be a hindrance to any kind of good faith peace process between Israel and Palestine. And I'm sure that partly by what it's doing, by design, is to limit any real possibility of a two-state solution. So, it's going to be a destabilizing thing going ahead. And if we get back to having a more sober and more sane administration in power, this is something that is going to be difficult to undo. And in the meantime, it is stirring up tensions in a region where tensions are already high and where there is a lot of violence. And combined with pulling out of the Iran deal, which is also something that just shocked our allies in the international community, and they're strongly opposed to it. It certainly could lead to trouble.
Great.
Both immediately and long term.
Just what I needed to hear. Thanks, Chris. I mean, you've really now depressed me. I'm going to sleep poorly tonight because of this.
I'm always a ray of sunshine.
Yes, you are. Chris, I appreciate the time. Thanks for filling us in and letting us know how horrible it's actually going to be.
You bet, Rick. Thanks for having me.
Thanks so much. Our good friend Chris Droop. Again, he's somebody you got to follow, especially if you're just concerned about how crazy all of this is going to get. Just a good guy to follow and pay attention to. I'm going to take a quick break. Right back. Stick around. You listen to The Rick Smith Show.
Exposing that free trade is never free. The Rick Smith Show.